We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down the Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 236 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always. That sounds good. Two guys, as always. Malcolm and Pierre, how you boys doing on this beautiful Tuesday night?
Woo! Man.
Sorry.
I'm doing great, man. No, Malcolm, you're good, man. I love that energy. Let's get this off, man.
Woo! Whole game today. And I want to thank everybody who came out to the Twitter spaces last Wednesday night. That was freaking awesome. You guys came out with so much support on that Wednesday night that we are actually reconsidering of potentially recording our Twitter spaces on Wednesday night. So maybe we'll do a little Twitter poll on our Pride Podcast page if you guys want to vote on what makes it where you guys are more available, if it's a Wednesday night or Friday night. We'll do whatever you guys are more available to, because that Wednesday night, that was killer. We had some great guests come on. Ryan Matthews from Pride of Detroit, Adam Maydun from Woodward Sports, we had Easy from Woodward Sports, and everybody else that came on. It was absolutely amazing. So I want to thank you guys so much for everybody that came out to that Twitter Spaces last Wednesday night. It was absolutely amazing. We went a little overtime, but had zero, you know, we did not have zero regrets after that, because it was amazing, man. You guys came out and supported really well that day.
Yeah, Tyler, and some people messaged me for some reason we couldn't bring him on because we had a ton of requests. So next time, just message us. Maybe before we start the show, we'll bring you on.
Yeah. No, I mean, your guys' support is getting so big. We're like, we used to take anybody that used to request, and now, like, you guys are showing up so much. We got to keep it on a somewhat time frame. So, like, we can't take every request in every episode. But if we miss you on one episode, like Pierre said, message us, and we'll try to get you on in the next one if you guys are there, obviously.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that being knocked out, let's talk about some really, really good news for the city of Detroit, the Detroit Lions, and what happened this past Monday and the news that we received. It seemed like just all the good news was coming for the Detroit Lions. It was within like a couple hours span. It was amazing. So it started off in the morning. Adam Schefter announced that the Detroit Lions will be the team to host Hard Knocks on the HBO series in August for training camp. And this is something that we've won for a couple of years, and something that we kind of predicted this year going to happen, because the Lions were one of the three teams that couldn't turn down the opportunity to be on Hard Knocks. And they officially got chosen to be the team to be featured on Hard Knocks. So that's really, really exciting. And then we found out a couple of hours afterwards from Adam Schefter as well, the Detroit Lions are going to be the host of the NFL draft in 2024. So a lot of news right there. Pierre, I'm going to start off with you, man. We get Hard Knocks first, and then we get the NFL draft right after. What's your initial thoughts when you hear those things for the Detroit Lions?
Hard Knocks is exciting. Obviously, we get to see more of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And, like, honestly, from a national perspective, people think, like, the Lions, Dan Campbell, are all about kneecaps and stuff. Like, no, we're building something legit here, I think. So people will get to see that, the culture here, and the coaches, and the personalities. We have a lot of personalities on this team. And then the draft here. First thing I thought of was like, man, my man Malcolm better come here. He better come to Detroit. All jokes aside, though, man, I'm excited about the draft here. It's literally in our backyard, like Tyler. After work or whatever we'll be doing in 2 years.
It's a long time from now.
Yeah, whatever we'll be doing in 2 years, we're going to be there, guys. And we're going to try to get Cragento too. I think maybe we could from Blue Wire. We'll see. But we're going to be there.
Yeah, man. It's a big event, man. I mean, Detroit hasn't had anything significant like this in a while. And I think Rod Wood mentioned in his press conference when they got announced for the draft was the last big event Detroit has had as far as the sporting universe is the MLB World Series in 2012. And that's not something that you're chosen or the league is choosing you to be participating in. That's something you have to earn, obviously. And that was the last time Detroit has had a very big sporting event. And then, you know, we just don't really get big events like that. We've had the NCAA tournament before. That was a long time ago. We've had a Super Bowl. That was a long time ago. So it's been, you know, way over a decade since we've had a big sporting event come to Detroit. And to see that the NFL draft, a growing event that's growing every single year, come to Detroit, like, that's just freaking amazing. I'm so freaking excited. And Malcolm, I want to get your perspective. You being an outsider, not being from Detroit, you've only been here one time. You hearing the news that the Detroit Lions and the city of Detroit that's going to be hosting the draft in 2024. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, the draft, I think, is huge for the city of Detroit. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because Detroit, they kind of have a bad reputation. You know, when you think of cities, I mean, like, when you think of cities that are bad, you know, outsiders, they look at Detroit, they look at Cleveland, and they're like, oh, yeah, those are bad cities. But Detroit is a really great city. I've been down there, what was that, 2019? For that home opener, and I had a blast. Downtown was amazing. Me and my wife were just, you know, we were actually riding bikes around all around downtown. It was just amazing, just sightseeing and seeing how much Detroit has built. I enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure, you know, people who are coming to visit, they're going to enjoy it as well, and they're going to look at Detroit as, you know what, Detroit's a really nice city, you know. So maybe you guys get more tourists, and it's going to bring, you know, a lot of people from the outside in. So I think it's going to be huge for you guys.
Yeah, and Malcolm, like, I feel like we have everything for all ages. Like, we have, like, nightlife here. We have good food. Greektown, for example, there's really good foods in Detroit. And then you have casinos as well, and people like to gamble, right? Yeah. So I feel like there's activities for every age, kind of. If you want to come here, we have anything that you want to do.
Yeah, man, it's really nice, man. It's gonna be really good for the city, man, again, man. So it's going to be really good. So, I'm definitely going to be there 100%. And yeah, man. So I just can't wait, man. I'm actually excited.
I mean, Detroit's a really good sports town, a very underrated sports town that has gone through a lot of misery, obviously, the last couple of years, but a very, very loyal fan base. Even Malcolm said this when he came back, when he came down here in 2019, was saying, man, your guys' sporting fans, you wouldn't even be able to tell that the Tigers were one of the worst teams in 2019, because Malcolm said that ballpark was filled on Saturday night.
It was.
No, it's gonna be cool. I was really glad that they announced that it's going to be in Campus Marsh. It's going to be a little outdoor event. And I think also you're going to get some tourists from Canada, because obviously it's just a short ride away from Canada. So that also offers the opportunity for Canadians to come out to an NFL draft where maybe they didn't have another opportunity in a different city.
Do you think it's going to be like at that, like by the lake?
Yeah, they said it's going to be by the river.
The river. Nice, yeah, man. That's an awesome view, man. Right next to, like, you pretty much see Canada from that view. It's an awesome view, man.
It's Campus Marshes and Hart Plaza. That's what they Hart plan Plaza on. They said if it rains, they have, like, backup plans maybe for Little Caesars or Fox Theater. They don't know yet.
Yeah, I remember Hart's Plaza because, you know, my last name was Hart. And I remember going there, and I was like, oh, they have a park named after me.
No, it's a beautiful area, man. I love
it. It is, man.
They said there's going to be a fireworks show at night, too. So that's going to be a really dope event. I know it's not until 2024, but just like Malcolm said, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really exciting event just for the city of Detroit.
100%.
Yeah. All right. And then quickly about Hard Knocks. I think this was something that we kind of predicted. I don't think this is much of a shocker, but to finally just hear the official news that we're going to be on Hard Knocks, it's just good news. I think it's going to be just really fun to watch, and I think it's gonna be good for the pod too. And we're gonna talk about the shows right afterwards and get on Twitter Spaces and just react to whatever we watch on Hard Knocks. So I'm looking forward to that as well, just seeing the personalities of the coaching staff, the general manager, and just the players in general. I mean, seeing more of an inside look on the guys. So I'm really looking forward to Hard Knocks as well.
Yeah, man, I finally I'll say that finally, man. I've been waiting for this for so long, man.
Malcolm, do you have an HBO account? Wait for this.
Absolutely, man.
Oh, you already have one. Okay.
I already have HBO.
HBO Max, I think there's people like me, like the football, like the diehard football fans. We don't get HBO during the whole year. I only get HBO during Hard Knocks, and then I cancel right after. After August, it's done. It's canceled. And that's how it's going to go this way around. I saw someone tweet. I don't remember who it was. I'm sorry, because I want to give you credit. But he said, we should just get one HBO account and share it with all lines Twitter.
Jeremy from Pride of Detroit.
Yep.
Jeremy from Pride of Detroit definitely said that. Yeah. If he wants to do that, go ahead, man. That shit gonna get flagged. They go black. There's about 2 billion people using your account.
And then like someone's gonna like try to change the password or something.
Your information.
Yeah.
Can you explain this? There's 2 billion people using the same login
and watching at the all same exact around time.
Michigan, all at the same time. Can you explain this? I don't know. I thought it was cool. Yeah, yeah, man.
No, yeah, I don't have HBO, but I'm definitely gonna get HBO for Hard Knocks for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely canceling right after too. Right after
Hard Knocks. I might keep it after. I don't know if there's good stuff on it. I might keep it. We'll see.
I don't want you guys know me. I don't watch TV shows. So
that is true.
What about movies? You don't watch movies?
Don't watch movies. No.
Oh wow. Okay.
Malcolm, you know me, man. There's no winner. Yeah.
There's no winner at the end. Tyler's not interested.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, you're getting like Hard Knocks. You're giving me everything. You're giving me football and reality TV. That's my two favorite things. Reality TV and football. You can't ask for anything better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your boy's back in twice in a row, man. Let's go.
Juju Hughes.
And Cabinda, right? Didn't you say you love Cabinda?
Yeah, I love Cabinda off Hard Knocks. Juju Hughes. Jared Goff was actually a pretty good personality when they had the Rams on Hard Knocks. So he's getting another year on Hard Knocks. So. Yeah, we definitely got some personalities that to keep forward. I think Jamal Williams is going to be a star on Hard Knocks. I think he's going to steal the show. I think the NFL Universe is going to really love him.
That guy.
Yeah, I think Sewell, too. He has a personality.
Frank Ragnow, they're going to show him on the boat fishing or something.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting, man. I'm really looking forward to this. So, for people wondering, it's going to drop around training camp. So, look forward to Hard Knocks
August 9th. August 9th will be the first episode.
All right. With that being said, some very good news in Detroit. Very happy. All of us were very happy about the news that we heard last Monday. Let's get into our scheduled episode that we had for today. And that is going to be a 3-round mock draft. So we usually do about 2 to 3 of these a year right before the draft. This is going to be our 1.0 version. So we're just going to name a 3-round mock. We're going to go round by round, say our player, give a little analysis on them. And that's just how we're going to roll. And again, we're probably going to do about 2 to 3 of these before the draft. So right now it is currently, as we're recording, March 29th. So we got about a little less than a month till the draft. So we might have another one in us to do one more of these. So with that being said, let's get right to it. And let's start off with pick number 2. The Lions have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. So there's going to be a lot of players to break down. So let's start off with pick number 2. And Peter, who do you get there at pick 2?
So Hutchinson went 1, and, you know, pick 2, it was kind of a no-brainer for me, and I know some people are down on this guy for whatever reasons, but it's Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, you guys remember mid-season, everyone was posting Kayvon Thibodeau pictures on Twitter, on Instagram. Like, all of the Lions universe basically was doing that, all Lions Twitter. And then, what is it, like, a few weeks ago, like 3-4 weeks ago, you get a thing that says, oh, Kayvon doesn't show effort, Kayvon this, Kayvon that. But we hear this every year about prospects, man. So I don't buy into that, to be honest. So for me, it's Thibodeau at 2.
And just to be very quick right here, if Hutchinson was on the board at pick 2 and you had the option between Hutchinson and Thibodeau, would you lean more towards Hutchinson?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I just knew you were a bigger Hutchinson fan. I didn't know if that changed, though. But you said in your mock draft that he was the first pick, so you didn't have an option at
and like, yeah, the reason why I'll take Thibodeau at 2 is, okay, I know people are saying Kyle Hampton, the value isn't there for me. Malik Willis, I think it's a little too early, but I wouldn't mind it if they took him, right? But Thibodeau to me is just like, he's your pass rusher. Guys, when is the last time we had a dominant edge rusher? Ziggy Ansah?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the hype of Trayvon Walker from Georgia?
I think it's legit.
Would you be disappointed if they went that route, pick 2?
No. Because I trust the GM, man. I really do. Like last year, I'm not going to lie, during the draft, we were kind of disappointed that we didn't take a wide receiver within the first 3 rounds, right? Then the fourth round, he goes and takes this kid out of USC, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He turns like into basically like, I don't want to say a star yet, but he's on his way to being that. He
continues top five rookie receiver in the class for sure. Look like it, yeah. At least from last year.
So I trust the GM.
Okay. Malcolm, who'd you have here at pick number 2 from the Lions?
All right. So with the pick number 2, Detroit can go several options here. I'm hoping Jacksonville doesn't take Aiden Hutchinson, but, you know, look like it is trending that way that they're going to take Aiden Hutchinson. For some reason, I think Jacksonville is going to screw this up and probably pick somebody that we are not expecting. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they
Kyle Hamilton here, pick one.
No, Walker. if they went Walker first overall, I wouldn't be shocked if they just went that route just to throw everybody off. And that's the guy who they really wanted. But if they do draft Aiden Hutchinson at pick 2, I am going to go the same route as Pierre. I'm going to go Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, I know a lot of people, this is like a mixed pick. People want, so there's some people who want Malik Willis. There's some people who want Kyle Hamilton. I don't think there's anybody that wants a tackle. But if there is, just throw it out there, I guess. But with this pick, I think this is the best value and best value pick you can go there unless you believe Malik Willis is the savior of Detroit and the city of Detroit. So if you believe Malik Willis is the savior of Detroit and he's going to be this guy that's going to be the star, and you think he's going to be another Josh Allen, whatever, maybe Michael Vick 2.0. I don't know. If you believe he's going to be that guy, I guess if they drop him at 2, I wouldn't mind it. But if you're going to go for the best player, the best value, I think you go take Kayvon Thibodeau. And just like Pierre said, before this season, he was on everybody's board the number one pick coming in. And I think that, you know, he may have not had the best season that he wanted to and kind of rub people off the wrong way, but I think he's still that beast. And I think that this staff, if you put a Kayvon Thibodeau with Aaron Glenn, it's going to be fireworks. That's what I'm going to say. It's going to be fireworks. If you look at one team that could get the best out of Kayvon Thibodeau, the Detroit Lions and Aaron Glenn. So if they do that, I'm in love. I give that an A if they are able to do that. So that's where I'm going. I'm going to go Kayvon Thibodeau.
All right. Well, not to be boring, and I could promise you this is not going to be the trend of the 3-round mock draft, but I'm going for the clean sweep. I'm going Kayvon Thibodeau as well, and you guys really hit the nail on it. I think he's a really good prospect, and I don't really buy into what Pierre was saying with this guy doesn't put effort and stuff like that. I mean, the guy's a stud, guys. I mean, I like what Malcolm pointed out too, is like if a staff's going to get the best out of Kayvon Thibodeau, it's probably going to be this staff. Because they've proven that they could do it with guys that were looked at as busts or guys that were forgotten guys. And a prime example of that is Charles Harris, a guy that wasn't really viewed highly around the league the last couple of years, was a former first-round pick. He comes in here and has a career year, gets a 2-year contract by Detroit and sticks around. And I think with Thibodeau, you also have depth if you want to kind of put him in development. I think he's a day one starter instantly, but if you wanted him to be a bit of a developmental guy and he could take a little back seat, you have options to develop him. You have Charles Harris who could start right now. You obviously have Romeo Cordo who's going to start right now. So you have options. I don't think that's going to be a concern, but to have that luxury to be able to sit him and develop him is also good. And be able to get snaps too is also good. I think you would have a really good rotation if you get Kayvon Thibodeau here. You would then have a rotation of Romeo Okwara, Kayvon Thibodeau, Charles Harris, Julian Okwara, and maybe Austin Bryant potentially too if he makes the team. That's not a bad rotation for this Detroit Lions team. And you're getting Kayvon Thibodeau for 5 years if it pans out at a very affordable cost when the edge rusher market is very inflated. So to get a really good edge rusher and then have Romeo Okwara on the other side, you're getting a bargain there. And that also gives you the luxury to go out in free agency when you're ready to spend, that you're going to have money to spend on more luxury positions if you need a safety, if you need a linebacker, which comes at a way cheaper cost than an edge rusher would, especially an A-tier edge rusher if that's what Kayvon Thibodeau ends up being. So the value is definitely there if you take a Kayvon Thibodeau at pick 2 and he ends up being the guy that you think he will be. So I looked at this board. It was a no-brainer for me. I think Kayvon Thibodeau should be the pick at pick number 2 for the Lions.
Yeah.
Oh, Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So we're all on Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah. I mean, I know you guys both like Hutchinson, and obviously I would be a big fan if they got Aiden Hutchinson too, but I think in all of our mocks that he was the number one pick overall. So it's for me, take one of the two. It's really as simple as that. Take Thibodeau, take Hutchinson. I'm a happy camper at the end of the day. That's really all I want.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go on to pick 32 for the Detroit Lions. Obviously coming pick from the via the Rams from the Matthew Stafford trade. Peter, who do you got here for pick 32?
So this is like one of my favorite prospects in this draft, and it's safety Jaquan Brisker out of Penn State. So he's the only Power 5 safety with an 80-plus grades in both man and zone coverage per PFF. And he also only allowed one touchdown in his Penn State career with 962 coverage snaps. This is a guy who could play in the box, he could cover tight ends, and he could also play your split safety coverage. Like, he could play deep if you want. This is a guy I want on my football team, honestly. He's my third-ranked safety. I got Dax till number two, but I don't think Hill would be here, and he wasn't here in this situation. So I took Brisker. Perfect fit in this scheme. Perfect complement Tracy Walker. This guy is like everything you want in safety.
I think the difference between pick 32 and 34, which is obviously one pick, so it doesn't seem like a significant difference, but I think people have to factor in the fifth-year option that you're getting with, because at pick 32, technically still a first-round pick, that's an extra year of team control if you draft that guy at 32. So there's going to have to be some type of strategy of what Brad Holmes and his staff wants to do here at pick 32 and pick 34, even though it is only one pick difference. You have to look at that factor is who do you think has the higher ceiling to be on this football team longer term, even though you might view both of them as a high term guys. But I like the Jaquan Brisker pick here at 32. You maybe get an extra year of eligibility of him. So I think that makes a lot of sense. So Malcolm, who do you got here at pick 32 for the Lions?
All right. So this is where we're going to probably be different right now. I think the positions are pretty much going to be the same. Like, I know Pierre just went safety, and on my pick, at pick 32, I'm also going safety. Different player because Brisker wasn't available for me. So I'm actually going with the safety from Georgia, Lewis Sin. Yeah, so I think if we bring him in, this is another guy, instant starter, bring him in, and he's going to be with that. Well, Tracy Walker, he makes him Tracy Walker. I think we'll have a hell of a safety duo with those two there. So yeah, that's where I'm going.
I like it. I actually love it. I love it.
I also have Lewis Sin. Pick 32 with the Lights.
Copycatter.
Yeah. No, this is a guy I like a lot too, man. It's just a great combo with Tracy Walker. He could play that split safety, which the Lions did a lot last year. And the Lions obviously need a safety. That's no question. They didn't invest into a safety this offseason. And I think they want to upgrade that position. I think they need a new starter there. Will Harris is a good player to have on your football team, but probably not an ideal day one starter. We've talked about this before. So I think getting a guy that could instantly start for this team, I think that's very good value. And I think he could be a very good player for your football team for multiple years.
Yeah, and he's a stud, man. Those Georgia boys, man, I'm telling you, you get any Georgia player, and those guys are studs.
I would not be mad if the Lions use all five of their, you know, first three picks on Georgia players. I would not be disappointed at all. I mean, it's they had that good of a defense and just that good of a team in general, obviously the team that won the national championship. But that defense, man, that's a different type of defense in Alabama or in Georgia.
As weird as that sounds, it is very possible that could actually happen, yeah. Man.
I was hoping that N'Kobe Dean would be there for me at 32, but he was gone. I mean, I would absolutely fall over if N'Kobe Dean was the pick at 32 for the Lions.
Wow.
But he was gone, so I couldn't do that. All right, let's move on to pick 34. Pierre, who do you got here? Pick 34 for the Lions.
So I'm taking Christian Watson out of North Dakota State University. This guy was Trey Lance's number one receiver. And just look how ridiculous of an athlete he is. First of all, he scored a 10 RAS, which is the highest you could get. 10 means like he's super athletic. 6'4", 208, 4.36 speed, 38.5 vertical, 11.4 broad jump. I mean, this is a guy who's an athlete. He's a little raw. He kind of reminds me of Denzel Mims. Remember Denzel Mims had a great senior bowl, kind of came out of nowhere. This is kind of Christian Watson's rise. And I feel like 34 is a good gamble. I feel like this is kind of like your future ex. Maybe he could sit right now, learn a little behind Chark and all those other guys there. And then when he's ready next year, throw him in the fire. Even if he's ready like later in the season, throw him in the fire.
Yeah, I like that pick. That makes a lot of sense. You just mentioned an athletic freak. He's 6'4", has all the tools to have great potential, obviously, in this league. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of route they go for receiver. Are they going to go a guy that's been known to be a good combo for Jared Goff, or are they going to go a guy they just think who has the highest ceiling in this draft? And I think that's going to be an interesting question. I think Christian Watson fits both those boxes if they want to do that. I think he gives a good weapon for Jared Goff in 2022. And if Goff isn't their answer beyond 2022, I think Christian Watson still would be a very good player for this team going forward for whoever that quarterback is going to be.
Yeah.
Malcolm, who do you got here at pick 32 for the Lions?
Oh, all right. So,
or 34, sorry.
Yeah, 34. So second round pick 34. I know you mentioned him earlier, but damn it, he was there for me in this mock that I had, and I am actually going with I'm sticking with Georgia, the linebacker from Georgia, N'Kobe Dean.
Oh,
yeah. Now, is it possible that he might be there? I don't know. It's possible. He's a stud. Is it possible he might? I don't know. If he's there at 34. I think you have to run to the podium. I think you have to draft him. Now, I know people are saying that he might not have the ideal size, and this guy's a playmaker. He's a playmaker, and he's going to make our linebacking core better. And his size kind of remind me of, you know, Jalen Reed's Maven, what they had from him. But I think he's just a much better player, and he's going to play sideline to sideline, and he's going to create plays, and he's going to step up the running game. He's going to do it all. And I just love him as a player. He's probably my favorite linebacker in this draft class. For him to even be at 34, I think it's just beyond me. But if he's there, I think you kind of just have to take him.
I think that's possible. I actually read something on it that says, like, N'Kobe Dean could fall. Kind of what happened to Jeremiah J.O.K. last year. People had him. Yeah. People had him, like, in that first, mid-first, late-first. And he kept falling because teams didn't know necessarily where to play him. He was, like, I think he was kind of like that hybrid linebacker safety role. And teams didn't really know where to play him. And good, Cleveland though. Took him. He had a great year for Cleveland. Yeah, he was really good.
N'Kobe Dean, sometimes people, I think, factor in the athleticism or the combine or the pro day numbers. And sometimes you got to just put that all to the side and just look at the film. Just look at what he did on the football field for the University of Georgia. Dude's a freaking stud, man. He did everything there. He was that linebacker. He can cover tight ends, can cover running backs. He can get the tackle that you need him to get. Sometimes you got to put that stuff to the side. And the stuff that you should be valuing the most, I'm not saying it's not important, obviously, but the most important stuff to me, obviously, is what happened on the football field. And N'Kobe Dean checked all those boxes for me for what he could do on the football field.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that he was probably the best defensive player on that Georgia defense?
I don't think that's a bad take at all.
I think you could make the argument between him and Jordan Davis.
Yeah. I think they both had that same impact, you know, as far as on defense. But, man, both of them are just duds. So yeah, if he's there for me, man, just draft him. Don't overthink it. Just draft him.
I think the only big difference I could say is between Davis and N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean's on the field 100% of the time in defensive snaps. Jordan Davis rotating with other guys. N'Kobe Dean's on that field consistently on a great defense. So that's a no-brainer for me. I mean, I understand the argument. I'm not going to say that if you said Jordan Davis is better, I'm not going to disagree with you. But N'Kobe Dean, I don't think that's a bad take at all. Dude's a freak. Dude's a beast. And N'Kobe Dean just reminds me of one of those guys. You draft him, whoever drafts him, he's going to be in your team for the next 10 years. He's going to have that seat patch eventually. I view very highly of N'Kobe. I think he's going to be a really good football player.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah, I believe, has him at 15 or something, this top 50. Like, he's his 13th player, and Devin Lloyd is number 12 for him. So, yeah, that's a massive steal if you're looking at Daniel Jeremiah's top 50 board.
Yeah, I like that a lot, man. I think he's a really good football player, so... Man, 34, that's tremendous value. Getting two Georgia players, that's a great scenario. Going three defensive players, that's really rebooting your defense and getting three instant starters, in my opinion. And in Malcolm Smock, you got Kayvon Thibodeau, you get Louis Cena at 32, and then you get N'Kobe Dean at 34. I mean, I would almost say that's best case scenario for the Lions, like in my opinion. Maybe not everyone agrees with that, but that's my best case scenario, honestly.
That'll be a beautiful draft for me.
All right, I'm going to stick with your linebacker route, but unfortunately, N'Kobe Dean wasn't there for me. I'm going to go with Christian Harris from Alabama. Just another really good football player. I mean, he was really good. Same conference as N'Kobe Dean, playing the SEC. I think he'd be a really good fit for this defense, a guy that's going to start for you instantly, in my opinion, as well. I think he would be a really good starter alongside, if that your plan is to be Derek Barnes, if that is Alex Anzalone to start the season, whoever it may be. I like Christian Harris a lot, man. You know, he's a tackling machine. He can cover your tight ends. He can cover your running backs. For me, it's probably linebacker 3 behind N'Kobe Dean and Devin Lloyd. Unfortunately, both those guys were gone for me at pick 34. So I could almost say settle for Christian Harris, but I don't think that's settling at all at pick 34 for Christian Harris. I like him a lot, man. I think he'd be a really good fit for this defense, and I would be really, really satisfied if they got him there.
I like it. That's Malcolm's boy from Bama.
Yeah, Malcolm, what's your quick thoughts on that? Being a Bama fan, I know it's not as big as the Lions or the Knicks, but being a Bama fan, viewing Christian Harris, what's your thoughts on him?
I mean, Christian Harris is a good, really good player, man. He was like one of the better players on our defense. You know, you got Anderson, and then, you know, he's a star, but then, you know, Harris is right there. So, that'll be a really good pick. And just like you said, I think I probably have him rated like as a third linebacker in this draft class. So if he's there, I mean, that's another guy that you could just pick up in, like you said, the instant starter.
And I think that's the trend I've been really going. Like, the Lions need to get guys who are going to be players for them. Like, we have the depth. We have the rotational guys. The Lions in this draft have to really address getting some starters. And the route I went with these first three picks, I got starters, man. I got guys who are going to be instant impact for this team. I think guys are going to be on this team for a long time. I went with Kayvon Thibodeau, Louis Cien. And then I went with Christian Harris here at pick 34. I would not be disappointed in the slightest if the Lions went three defensive picks with their first three picks. And to get going with this staff and Aaron Glenn, what he got out of those guys last year, I think he had some high football prospects in the first three picks. I think Glenn could do some wonders and really transform this defense to be something, you know, very solid.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue, and let's go to pick number 66, the first third-round pick for the Detroit Lions. Pierre, who do you got here?
All right, so this is a guy who had zero starts. Like, what? Why the hell are we drafting a player with zero starts at 66? And I'll tell you why. This is linebacker Channing Tindall out of Georgia. Georgia's defense was loaded. You know, we talked about Quay. I don't know if you guys brought up Quay Walker, but Malcolm brought up N'Kobe Dean, Trayvon Walker. I mean, they had some other guys as well. So this guy had zero starts, but he appeared in 34 games. He played in 504 defensive snaps. He also played in 459 special team snaps. It's like, oh, why does it matter special teams? Because it matters when you're a linebacker on this team. You got to be like versatile sort of, and this guy could do that. Tindall is an athletic freak. He's really fast. What I mean by that, the dude is running. Like, if a running back is running, he can catch up to a running back, okay? He's 6'1", 7", 230, 42-inch vertical, 42-inch vertical, 10'9" broad, 4.47 speed. This is what I mean. He's an athletic freak. And we keep talking about athletes, guys. I feel like this guy's a perfect fit at 66. Personally, I wanted Damon Clark here, but he's having back surgery. So I kind of shifted my focus to Channing Tindall.
That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. A little project there, and maybe
he could. I wouldn't necessarily call him a project. Like, I feel like if he was on other teams, he'd start. Georgia was loaded, bro.
They were loaded, definitely. Do you think in the NFL he's an instant starter?
Yes. I think you could plug him in starting right away. Yeah.
That'd be interesting. That'd be definitely interesting. All right, Malcolm, who do you got here? Pick 66.
Okay, so at pick 66, we're going into the third round. Now, with this pick, I look at this pick as a pick that the Detroit can do, and this can actually work. Now, I know I went defense with my first three picks. With this pick, I'm actually going to on the offense side of the ball. And the person I'm actually taking is a guy who kind of just got hurt. I'm talking about John Metchie from my college, Alabama. Let's go, man. And I think this is a good pick because what the Detroit Lions did in the offseason by getting DJ Shark, by bringing back Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond, they still have Amon Ross St. Brown. I think you could kind of ease Metchie in, and he doesn't need to start right away. So with his injury that he has right now, I know he's saying that there's a chance that he could come back in June to participate in camp. With the Detroit Lions, they can ease him in. And once he's healthy, you mix him in with DJ Shark and Amon-Ra St. Brown. That will be a very dynamic offense. I mean, you're looking at what he did in Alabama, 96 receptions, 1,142 yards, 8 touchdowns. I mean, this guy's a baller. So you bring him in with DJ Shark, Amon-Ra St. Brown, we will have an explosive offense. So that's where I'm going at pick 66.
I like him.
I like it.
That'd be very interesting, man. John Metchie's a good player, dude. He was really good, man. His sophomore year, he was really good. He just had a really good college career, and he's almost got overshadowed with playing with so many good football players, especially good receivers. You had Jalen Waddle there. We know Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, and just a lot of good receivers at Alabama. So he's almost got overlooked there a little bit. So John Metchie, man, he's a good football player for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, you could kind of play him in the slot. You could play him outside, similar to St. Brown. He has that flexibility, and he's a really good route runner, too.
Yeah. Me and Malcolm are just copying each other. I didn't take John Metchie, but I took a guy from Alabama here. I took Jalen Tolbert from Southern Alabama. This is a guy who is 6'3", 190 pounds. Again, you know, kind of what Pierre just mentioned really quickly with John Metchie, a versatile guy. You could play him in the slot. You could play him outside. He's 6'3", a big threat. And a guy coming from a smaller school, again, you could ease him in if you need to because you have options right now. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown. You have DJ Chark. So you have some options where you don't necessarily have to start this guy day one. But you look at this receiver room past the 2022 season, there's some question marks. Who's going to be on this football team? We know Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be on this football team, but after that, DJ Chark's only on a one-year deal. Josh Reynolds on a two-year deal, but it could be a one-year deal if they want to move on. Khalif Raymond, same thing, two-year deal, but it could be a one-year deal as well. So there's a lot of question marks as far as the future of this receiving core. So Jalen Tolbert could be a guy who maybe could take the backseat the first couple weeks, and if they don't want to go out and pay a receiver next year, maybe they have two guys right there. They have Tolbert and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and maybe they address that position in the draft, or maybe they get a third receiver depending on what they view of Tolbert and how he produces. So I think it's a very good situation. You have some guys that could play and don't have to force them into a situation right now, because I think you can even make the argument last year we didn't have that luxury, and we almost had to kind of force Amon-Ra St. Brown to a situation. And we saw at the beginning of the year he wasn't really being productive with his Detroit Lions team, and he really came onto his own in that late November and especially that December stretch. So with getting a guy like Tolbert, you're not forcing this guy and putting him in a bad situation where he might struggle in the beginning, and he could kind of be eased into the offense, get the playbook, coming from a smaller school, get adjusted to the NFL. So I like this pick a lot for the Lions here. He's a really good athlete. He's got the size that you're looking for. I really like Jalen Tolbert here. 6'3", that could be some problems there, man.
I like it.
Nice. Nice.
All right, let's shift to the last pick in our three-round mock draft, and that is pick 97. Pierre, who you got here?
So this is a guy that the Lions liked. I believe they met with him at the combine. It's wide receiver Wandell Robinson out of Kentucky. Now he's 5'8", 178. He's like an okay athlete. 40-yard dash. But the thing that stands out about him when I was like looking into him is, so believe it or not, he's one of the smallest receivers in the nation, but he was ranked the first wide receiver against press coverage last year, according to PFF, at 91.6. Number two was Drake London, and number three was Jordan Addison. When I saw that, I was like, that's interesting. So he plays bigger than his size. Like, I think because if you're a pressing guy that small, most likely it's hard to get off press, right? You're 178 pounds, but he was number one against press. So that was interesting. I don't know how that will translate to the NFL, but he played in the SEC. SEC is no joke, as Malcolm knows. Malcolm watches the SEC every weekend on Saturdays. So I kind of went with Wandell Robinson here just because, like, Lions had interest in him, and I saw him there. I was like, let me take him.
So I don't know much about this guy. Where'd you say he went to college again? Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Kentucky.
Is that?
He's kind of like your Khalif Raymond sort of replacement. I know they signed Khalif Raymond to a 2-year deal, but this is a guy who could, like, who could be here. Like, he could play on special teams. He could be your gadget. He could be your deep threat. You could put him on jet sweeps, motion, screen passes. You could do a lot of things with him. He's kind of like your Swiss Army knife. You can move him around everywhere.
Yeah, that would definitely be interesting. And you're doubling down on receivers here because he took a receiver at, what, 32 or 34? We'll just take Watson.
34.
So you're doubling down on receivers here. So in the first three rounds. And I don't think that's a bad scenario because I just said there's a lot of question marks in this receiver room. Don't have much guys long-term outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I don't think that's a worst case scenario, and a guy you could also ease into your offense as well.
Yeah. I wanted Calvin Austin here, but he was off the board. So
yeah. All right.
Pretty good pick, man.
Who do you got here? Pick 30 or 97, sorry.
97. So this is where I think we're all okay. I know I said this before. I think we're all gonna be different here. As far as position wise and player wise, I think this is where we're gonna separate with our picks. Here, just one wide receiver. And I'm going the route of a tight end. Now, I know people are going to like, why tight end so high? Why are you picking a tight end so high? You have TJ Hockenson. Now, TJ Hockenson, if I'm not mistaken, this is the fifth. Is this the fourth or fifth year?
Fourth year
with a fifth year option next year. So, now, with TJ Hockenson, if he gets hurt again, do Detroit bring him back? Do they give him the fifth year option?
They said the plan
everything's up in the air.
The plan right now is to give him the fifth year option and potentially work out a long term deal.
So it looks like they're trying to work out a long-term deal, but if they don't get it done, Brad Holmes, I think, already said he's going to pick up that fifth-year option.
He's going to pick it up? Okay.
I mean, that's he didn't say he was, but like he sort of like hinted at it.
I mean, if he does, he does, man. That's what's up, man. I personally still have a lot of questions with T.J. Hockenson. Health-wise, can he play at least 15, 16, 14 games? I mean, he needs to be on the field majority of the time, and when he's on the field, he got to be more consistent for me. So, whether they pick him or not, I think Detroit still need another tight end in their tight end room. I mean, Brock Wright's there, but I think we can definitely have an upgrade in our tight end room. So I'm going with the tight end from Texas A&M, Jalen Wattemeyer. Now he's a bigger tight end. He's 6'5", 255 pounds, and I think his game really translates to the pro level. As far as playmaking wise, he's a good block. He's a solid blocker, solid receiver, catches balls. So I really like that pick, especially if they're still kind of not sure what they're going to do with TJ. I know you guys said that they're going to bring him back and, you know, they're going to do the 50 option and trying to get a long-term deal. But, man, if he gets hurt or he's not productive, I don't know if they should go that route. But that's just me. But, yeah, I'm going tight end with pick. Was it pick 96, 97?
97.
So 97. It actually didn't hint it. They actually said if they don't get a deal done with him, they do plan on picking up his fifth-year option. We'll see. It seems like Holmes kind of mentioned that they're talking deal with him because he said if we can't get a deal done, we'll pick up his option. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. And the thing is with TJ, again, he's been on the field. So if he gets hurt again, I think we still need a tight end, a solid tight end. So that's why I went this route.
I mean, in general, Malcolm, with the way they want to run the ball, I feel like this offense needs a legitimate number two tight end.
Yeah,
they don't have that. They just don't have that right now. And I don't know much about the kid you mentioned, but I do like the idea of taking a tight end at 97 if it's a good one there. I wouldn't mind. I like the kid out of UCLA, Greg Dulcich. I don't think he'll be there, though. But, yeah, I do I like him.
Especially having five picks in the first 100 picks, you have the luxury of getting some backup players. You don't need to get not every one of those first three round picks have to be instant starters. And when you have five picks in the top 100, you know, you want to get majority starters, but you want to get some rotational players as well, some good depth players. And just like Peter mentioned, I mean, in the tight end room, you got Hockenson. He has starting capability, obviously. We've seen that. But after that, a lot of question marks. They brought in Garrett Griffin from the Saints. Don't really know much about him. Got Brock Wright still. That's really about it after that. So there's definitely room for improvement for that backup tight end spot. And just like what Pierre said as well, they want to run the ball, and they want to run the ball efficiently. So they need some guys who could block, and they're going to need some tight ends out there in the field.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Shifting on to my last pick and what I have for the Lions at pick 97. But I went Damon Clark from LSU here. And it looks like Damon Clark had surgery, so he's probably going to miss all of the 2022 season. But I think it's fair to mention that this was first a guy that has been mentored by our inside linebackers coach, Calvin Shepard. So that's a big role for, you know, that's a big influence right there. Shepard likes him a lot. And maybe the Lions, with their first round picks, they got guys who they think they could start right away and produce for this team right away. And maybe they could take a flyer on a guy that probably should have went earlier in this draft if it weren't for his injury and him being out for the season. So getting this guy at 97, I think you're getting a guy who could be a future starting linebacker for you. And I think if you guys are wondering, why am I taking so many linebackers? You got Derek Barnes last year. I got Christian Harris here in my mock at 34, and then I'm getting Damon Clark here. I'm really just going the BPA approach here. I mean, I looked at the board. There wasn't really anything that really intrigued me too much as far as a positional value where I'm like, okay, we have to get this guy there. I really just went and looked who was the best player available, in my opinion, at this position at pick 97, and it ended up being Damon Clark. I think he just has the intangibles. He put a good combine on, had a really good season at LSU, also playing in the SEC, a tough conference. This is a guy I like a lot, man. I think he would be a really good fit for this team long-term, and I think they could really get, you know, they can get the best out of this guy, and especially Shepard having a good connection with him. I could see there being some influence. Maybe the good Lions go here and get Damon Clark here this late third round, or maybe they even wait till day three potentially if he's still there. I think Damon Clark's going to be an intriguing prospect to keep up with this draft process because he's a guy that probably shouldn't have went in the second round or third round if it weren't for the injury. And now with him most likely missing all of 2022, what is his value? Is 97 too rich for him? I don't know. It wasn't too rich for me with looking at the other players available, but that's going to be an interesting decision that Brad Holmes and his staff are going to have to end up making.
Yeah, you redshirt him the first year, and then it's the year two, man. You may have just two starters in your linebacking core. So that's a good pick.
So Tyler, I actually love that at 97. I actually so I believe Eric Schlitt, he said he wouldn't touch him until the fourth or fifth round. But the thing is, and I mentioned this to Eric, the Lions don't have a fourth round pick right now. I mean, that could change if you trade back or if you trade up or whatever. And they have a late fifth. The early fifth, remember, went to Denver for Trinity Benson. And yeah. I think that's right now with Seattle, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. But we don't have a fourth or fifth round basically until the late. So you're probably not going to get Damon Clark in the sixth round. I'd be shocked. So I love the gamble at 97. It's a good gamble to take. It's like you're basically trading Kenny Galladay for Damon Clark, if you think about it.
And if it's like one thing, if let's say hypothetically, like we didn't have all these picks, maybe the line should go for more of a starter. But
yeah,
with the way we approached it, we got a lot of starters already. So I think the Lions have the luxury with having five picks in the top 100 picks. They could take a shot at a guy who's not going to contribute for the team in 2022 and maybe contribute for this team in the long run.
Right. And Calvin Shepard knows this kid. Like,
yeah, that too.
Damon Clark called him his bigger, older brother, his big brother.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, big. He's a big kid. He's a big linebacker. You think he plays 6'4"?
6'2", I believe. Yes, 6'2",
right. Oh, he's 6'2". I don't know why I thought he was 6'4". Never mind.
Yep, 6'2",
6'2" and a half. Okay, yeah, still a solid linebacker. Big,
ran
big.
4.57 at the combine.
Yeah,
36 and a half vertical, 10.7 broad jump. I mean, this kid, he's an athlete. 9.74 RAS. We said 10 was the highest. This kid's he's legit, man.
I love it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, man. I think that's a pick where the Lions could maybe use to develop a guy long run. He's not going to contribute for a team in 2022, but this is looking more of the long term, and who could contribute for 2023 and 2024, and obviously years beyond that, hopefully, right? So I think with having, like I said, those four picks, I think the Lions could use that to their advantage. And Peter brought a good point that there's no fourth round pick, and we don't have an early fifth round pick, and he might not be there anymore. So go with the high ceiling guy, even though he's not going to contribute for your team right away.
Yeah. And, you know, back injuries are always tricky to.
That too. Yeah.
One time someone told me, they're like, never get back surgery unless you really, really always avoid it. So I'm not a doctor, but back injuries could get tricky as well. So his medicals, they're going to depend on his medicals too. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if a lot of teams just bringing in for visits just to get a physical on him or to see where he is medically and all that.
And again, when I say it every year, is I don't have that information. I don't even know how to read that information if I was handed to me. If someone handed me medical information, I wouldn't know how to read it. So I'm just going on what I see on the football field, and him being there at pick 97, great value. But like you said, if a team passed on him with a lot more knowledge to medicals than me, maybe there's a legitimate reason why he's falling. But for me personally, not knowing that information, and that's obviously huge, but me not being knowledgeable on that information, I'm going on what I've seen on the football field. I think 97 is an absolute steal for him.
Yep. And guys, also, we didn't really mention this in this podcast, but something to bring up is that pick number 32, like if the Lions love a few guys and say a team wants to come up to get that fifth year option on a quarterback or a player or whatever, we see that pick traded a lot. Like late one, that pick gets traded a lot from like the 27 to 32-ish range. If a team wants to come up into the first round, Brad Holmes, I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions move back from 32.
No, it has a significance, obviously. I mean, it's a whole extra year of team control on a player potentially. So, I mean, why would you want that if you view this guy as a long-term player? So,
it's a luxury pick. Say like some team picking at like 35 or 36 was like, hey, let's do a trade. Maybe I don't know the exact chart, but maybe they give you like a third round or a fourth round to move up like three or four spots. Sure.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. And it just all depends on how the Lions view on the players. Do they think that guy's going to be there? Do they think he's going to be there at 34? Do they think he's going to be there at whatever pick they trade it back to? So it's definitely all factors in play, but having pick 32, I think people are looking at it, it's like, oh, it's just a second round pick essentially. No, it's not. You're getting a whole extra year of team control of a player potentially. So it's actually a huge significance from 32 to 34, even though it's only one pick difference, only one player being picked between them. It doesn't seem like a huge significance, but a whole extra year of control is a huge difference when you look at the long run.
But yeah, but for the Lions, like if you trade back a few spots, you could get another maybe
you get third another
round
pick
or maybe a fourth round or whatever, fourth or fifth, whatever. I don't have the trade chart for me. I don't know what they would do, but just adding more picks, I mean that's a good thing to do.
Yeah,
especially in that fourth and fifth round range, right? Because you don't really have picks there.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad case scenario. Getting another pick in the top 100 is definitely not bad at all, and that's where we usually see a lot of starters come from, that top 100 pick. So if the Lions could add another pick in that top 100. That's definitely not bad.
So I do remember the Lions traded up for DeAndre Swift. Do you remember what they gave up for that? Or I'm sorry, Kerryon Johnson.
I think it was like a few
spots. They moved up in the second round.
I want to say a fourth? Say a third. Like a next year third.
Oh, okay. So yeah, maybe you could get a third round out of it. Who knows?
So I think it was 20. We drafted Kerryon in 2018. I want to say we traded at 2019 third. I might be wrong on this. But I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get picks for this year's draft, or maybe like you're like, hey, maybe we want some picks for next year's draft. I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Oh, and you bring a good point. We don't have fourth or early fifth round picks, so that's definitely maybe a spot where you can get them. All right. You guys got anything else to add, or is that about it?
I just want to add one more thing. The Lions lost Jared Davis basically in free agency. They get a sixth round comp pick for him, and they get him back. Brad Holmes is playing chess.
We didn't even mention that yet. JD's back. JD's back with Motown, man.
I thought we did it on the spaces, right? Didn't we sort of do it on the spaces the other day?
I don't think we did that.
He came after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, JD's back, guys. Because didn't hear by now, Jared Davis is back in Detroit. I mean, I guess you can get your quick thoughts out there. I think that's interesting. I mean, you got another guy that has a chip on his shoulder. You got him on a veteran minimum. I am sure I'm down for it.
Yeah, I think like basically to me, he's kind of like he's not a lock to make the roster because veteran minimum. It seems like they gave him a small roster bonus. Like he's not a lock. We'll see how he looks in camp, how the other guys look. But again, this is a guy. I don't know if you guys listened to his presser, but it seems like he's matured a lot. And he seems like he's grown a lot as a man. He's married now. He has a kid. He mentioned that. So I'm excited to see like a rejuvenated maybe or a more motivated Jared Davis.
Yeah, this pick up was very surprising and interesting. I mean, I know Dan Campbell, when he came in his first year, he was actually excited to be able to work with Jared Davis. But Jared Davis ended up going to the Jets. He actually wanted him to be on the roster from what I heard. And, you know, he ended up going to Jets. Now, the interesting thing with Jared Davis is that as far as him being around the ball, we've seen it. He was always around the ball. And this was with the other regime with Pencilhead and Bob, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
He was always around the ball. I think the staff could fix him. I think if there's a staff that could fix him, this is a staff. This is a staff that could fix Jared Davis. If they can't fix him, then yeah, I think you just let him walk, call it a day, and move on. And then his contract is very cuttable. But I think if by chance if they can fix him and make him the linebacker what we all thought he could be, I think this would be a best case scenario. You get another solid linebacker, another starter in this roster. So this is good. This is a good pickup. No risk. Pretty cool.
Solid reward potentially.
Yeah, solid reward. Yeah. Now, I don't think he's going to be good in coverage. I think that's just going to
– I mean, I don't think they'll use him in coverage. I think they'll use him more probably on blitzing downs or maybe on like – maybe teach him how to shed blocks on early running downs, right? Because he had trouble with that sometimes. But, bro, when he sees it and he hits the hole, it was rare. But when he saw it and he hit that hole, damn, was it nice to see.
Yeah.
And before we end the show, I pulled up the Kerryon Johnson trade with the New England Patriots. So the Lions traded – pick 51 and pick 117. So it was actually a fourth round pick for pick 43. So they moved up 8 spots.
Okay. But I feel like if you're moving up in the first round, there's more.
Yeah, because you get an extra year of control. Yeah.
So maybe you get a third, but even if you still get a fourth, I still think that's good value. If you move down a few spots and you think you could still get your guy or like one of the guys you love later on instead of 32 and you're adding an extra pick, I think that's really good value as well.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this whole episode. If you guys made it to this point of the episode, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys all enjoyed our 3-round mock draft. And again, we'll probably have one more of these, maybe two more of these before the NFL draft. And we also have some more content coming out. And then we'll also have our Twitter spaces. That's going to be going back. Are we going to Friday this week? I think we're going back to Friday this week. And then we'll decide what you guys like better. We'll post on our Twitter. Do you guys prefer Wednesdays? Do you guys prefer Fridays? Whatever it may be. And whatever gets the most votes, we'll do that. And that's really about it. So I hope you guys all enjoyed again. Leave a 5-star review. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy, Malcolm. And I am out. Peace. Thank you.